Amen. Good morning. 11 o'clock. How are we doing today? Doing good? Doing all right? Awesome. Well, hey, it is good to be back. If it's your first and second time, I am the pastor of this church. I haven't been here, so I'll just let you know. I've missed being here. I'm so thankful for Pastor Rusty, Pastor Chris, for speaking over the last 2 weeks so I could spend some time with my family, with my new baby Cohen, and be there for my wife as well and for my other children, and it's been a blessing to me, and I'm glad to be back today. We had a powerful first service, and I'm believing the same for this service as well. Now, before we get into our series, the next name that we're going to talk about, I just want to do just a little bit of housekeeping as it pertains to our ministry and to the church. If you've been here for a while, you probably noticed that we are in a season of growth. Of course, Easter is always a season of growth. We had, you know, almost 700 people here in attendance for Easter. And then last week we were at 400. And in our kids ministry alone, you ready for this? We had over 90 kids last week. 90 kids. Okay, so first, pray for the kids moment makers, right? That's a huge deal. And then even in youth ministry, we're seeing growth as well, where we're, you know, getting, you know, 50 students on a Wednesday. And it's amazing. You know, God is drawing people into his church, and they're connecting to his word, and they're connecting to his people, and they're connecting to this church, and that's awesome, and we're so blessed by all of that. But as we begin to serve and minister to more people, that means that others need to step up and help carry the load and carry the burden of the church. You know, each and every week, we have moment makers, it's what we call our volunteers, who serve. Sometimes one service, sometimes two services. Some come before and stay long after, and they are serving in big ways each and every week. But I'll just tell you, I was looking at it, only about 30% of our church is serving right now at this moment. 30%. And I'll just tell you, with those numbers in kids, there's a need for more moment makers in kids ministry, because we have some who are serving both services each week, and that are doing that consecutive weeks. And so the kids ministry needs help. In youth ministry, right now we have about 10 leaders, and we need about double that. I'll be real honest. These kids get cray-cray on Wednesday nights, and we love it, but we need some help there as well. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you are not volunteering, if you have not gone through our Moment Maker training, I would just encourage you to sign up for it. It's happening next week. Hear about our vision, hear about the history of the church, learn about all things Kairos, and then hear about the different ministries and different ways in which you can plug in and get plugged in. Because a part of being a part of this body and connected to this body is being the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's what we want. We say every week, we're not meant to do life alone. And there are many different ways in which you can connect to other believers. Prayer and praise is a big way for you to get connected. Groups are a big way for you to get connected. And a third big way for that is through serving. This is what Jesus modeled for us. And so I'm coming to you today to say, hey, we have a need. And man, as Christ followers, we are called to serve as Jesus served. And man, we're going to continue to see God do and work in mighty ways. So if you're not a volunteer, if you're not serving, maybe if you did sign up to be a moment maker, but have taken a break or taken a season off, then we'd encourage you to step back in and sign up for that. And you can sign up for moment maker training on your next step card. Okay, so that's just a little housekeeping there. And then, of course, we're having baptisms today. We baptized two people last service. It was awesome. And right now, I think we have five for the end of service today. And I've talked to all of them. If you're looking to get baptized, I didn't chat with you. It'll be at the end of service. And then, it's just as the Spirit moves today, if you're like, I want to get baptized, man, head over there. We got a shirt, a towel, and some flip-flops, and you'll just have soggy britches when you walk out. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to dive in to our series today. We've been looking at the names of God, the powerful names of God. And so I'm going to have them put today's name up. Probably one you don't know. You probably never heard that one. Not as cool as Jireh. It wouldn't fit in that song, you know. I'm going to try to see if Robbie can write us a song. Does anyone think they know how to pronounce that? If you were here last service, don't try. Anyone know? Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Ready for it? Ready? Sabaoth. Yahweh? Yeah, that doesn't sound right at all. I know. And from someone who just mispronounces things all the time, I wanted to make sure I got it. I'm probably still not doing it, you know, like 100% justice, but it's Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaot. And here's what this means. It's the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. And this doesn't mean that he hosts really good parties. That's not what it's saying. He does, and he will. We will have the greatest party ever when we get to heaven one day, right? But that's not what this name is talking about. Yahweh Sabaoth, you can go to the next slide. So what this is the Lord of armies. There it is. The Lord of armies, the Lord of angels, Lord of hosts. This is God as a divine warrior and leader of celestial armies, of supernatural warriors, and leader of the army of Israel. He fights both in the conflict against spiritual forces and through human historical events for his people, Israel. This phrase, Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, it appears 285 times in the Old Testament. And so it's a pretty important name. You'll see it a lot in the books of the prophets. And then it shows up two times in the New Testament, in Romans 9 and in James 5 through 4. The Lord of armies, the Lord of angels, Lord of hosts. Now, the first time this name shows up is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. And you would think, okay, this is the Lord of armies, Lord of hosts. It's probably someone looking for God to help them conquer and win over an army, but it was actually Hannah who's crying out to God to provide her with a son. Let me read this to you. 1 Samuel 1:10 says, deeply hurt, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept with many tears, making a vow. She pleaded, Lord of hosts, if you will take notice of your servant. Now, and here's what's so powerful about this. What she's saying is, God, I recognize that you are a commander of the armies of heaven, that you are a commander of the armies of the Israelites, that you are God Almighty, Lord of hosts. I understand how great and mighty and powerful you are, but will you just take notice of your servant, of my affliction? Remember and not forget me, and give your servant a son, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut off. And so in this moment, it's such a powerful story if you've never read it, but what's this saying is that God, the Lord of hosts, he will surround you even when you fight and battle infertility. And the Lord of hosts sees you. That's what we talked about last week. He knows what you're going through, and he's there for you. The next time it shows up is when young David declares and is in a battle with a giant. 1 Samuel 17, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a dagger, a spear, and a sword, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel's armies, and you have defied him. And so like David, when our enemy surrounds you, God will be there for you to help face whatever giant problem may be standing in your way. And you can see this more and more, but one of my favorite stories is found in 2 Kings, and it's recognition of this name. It's not spoken, but as you read through it, you get to feel and experience exactly what they mean when they declare Lord of hosts or Yahweh Sabaoth. This is when Elijah, the prophet Elijah, is going up against the Arminian army and God's army. And what's really neat, and this was just something that, just as a side note, as I've been doing devotionals with my kids, I remembered one of my favorite devotionals that I go over with my kids. It's called I Am, and it's devotionals and stories all about the names of God. And so over the past few weeks, I've been going through this as we've studied the names of God. I've been sharing this with my kids, and it's good for ages all the way from 4 all the way probably up till about 10. And last week, I read the story of Yahweh Sabaoth to them. And they loved it. And they, you know, there's cool pictures in here. They got to see God's army surrounding the Arminian army. And so I picked up, because I love this book so much, I picked up a bunch and we have these for sale. I would say grab this. And today, after you learn this name, man, go and teach it to your kids. Let them know about the Lord of hosts that surrounds them, is for them, and fights for them as well. Okay, so in 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to kind of paraphrase. It'll be up. I'm going to paraphrase what's up there. If you don't want to listen to me, just read it. Okay, so the king of Aram is waging war against the Israelites, and there are camping and moving in secret in order to surprise the Israelites, attack them, and overwhelm them and overcome them. But the prophet Elijah keeps telling the king of Israel exactly where the Arminian forces are going to be. Now, of course, you know, imagine being the enemy and just like, why do they keep knowing where we're going? And so the king of Aram, he gets so angry, he gets so upset, and he begins to think that there is an Israelite spy within his ranks. And what his people tell him, he's like, no. There's this prophet Elijah, and he knows all the things that you are doing. He even knows the conversations that happen in your bedroom. Kind of creepy when you think about it, right? Like the prophet's just listening in, and there's probably some weird stuff that came out of the bedroom. Anyway, so Elijah knows, and so the king of Aram's like, fine, let's find that guy. Find me Elijah. Forget the Israelites. I'm going after Elijah, and he sends his entire army after the man of God. So let's pick this up in verse 13. It'll be on the next slide. So the king said, go and see where he is so I can send men to capture him. When he was told Elisha is in Dothan, he sent horses, chariots, and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. And he asked Elijah, oh, my master, what are we to do? Right? Just terrified in this moment, like, you know, when I went to bed, there was no one. When I wake up, there's this army of Arameans that are here. And this is verse 16 and 17. This is where we really begin to see Yahweh Sabaoth be manifest in their lives. Elijah said to his servant, don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them. And then Elijah prayed, Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. And so the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And this is really what it means that he is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of heavenly armies. It's this vast and mighty, overwhelming power that God possesses, that God commands, and that he uses for you. And see, Elisha, if you know anything about his ministry, and Elijah saw what many people did not. He saw God working, he saw God moving. And Elijah did things that many people wouldn't even attempt. It's because he fully understood that our battle, our fight, it is not just a physical fight, but it's more so spiritual. And what we gotta recognize, if it's spiritual, then we gotta see that the Lord of hosts is on our side, and we have to turn to him and rely on him to fight our battles for us. All right, you guys curious how this this story ends? Yeah, curious? Cool, go home and read it. Okay, so we're not gonna get into the rest of the story. I just wanted to kind of show you the connection there. And so maybe you say, well, you know, Pastor Brent, I'm not fighting, you know, army forces like the Israelites. I'm not going up against a giant like David. And so how, you know, how does this name, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, Yahweh Sabaoth, how does this pertain to me today? Well, first and foremost, we do know that there are wars waging in our world. I mean, right now in the Middle East, there is a war going on. It's been going on since October. And it's a big deal. And I don't know if you're following it, but you need to pray for what is happening over there. And while we look and we see the physical battle that's taking place, you have got to understand that what is happening is spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual battle that is waging over there and has been waging for thousands of years. And we're seeing the physical manifestation of what is taking place in the spiritual realm, in our country. You said, our country's not at war. Our country's at war. There's a political war taking place. There is a war over our children, right? With abortion and child sex trafficking. There's a war over sexuality where gender confusion is being pushed and children are having their genitalia mutated, and even adults. It's gender confusion. It's a war over the sexuality of our kids, and it's being taught to them by schools, and it's being promoted and encouraged to them by the media, even by our president, right? Anyway, I'm not gonna get into that. I don't need to keep going. There's the political war. There's war in the media. There's misinformation. There's misdirection. There's cover-ups. There's a war at our border. There's a war against our right to bear arms. So we have all these wars in the world, in our country, but let's bring it even closer to home. What are we at war with at home? There is a war. We are in a battle, each and every one of us. There's a war against social media and technology. that attempts to take all of our focus and all of our attention. There's a war over our self-image and our self-worth. There's a war in our financial burdens. There's a war in our children's behaviors and even our own behaviors. There's a war against addiction. There's a war in our marriages, where there are passive, absent husbands and fathers, or controlling, disconnected, overwhelmed wives and mothers. There's the war of lust. There's the war of pride. There's the war of isolation. There's the war of depression. These wars are taking place, different wars all throughout our world, all throughout our country, in our home. And all of us find ourselves battling something either internally or externally. And here's what I need you to know. Every battle that we fight is a spiritual one. It's a spiritual battle. And our eyes have got to be opened up to that. We've got to see that. Jumping over to the New Testament, Ephesians 6. I'm going to read 10 through 12. It says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Again, a little nod to the Lord of hosts, to Yahweh Sabaoth, like his vast strength. And it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Here we go, verse 12. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. There's a spiritual war taking place. And we need to see it. And it goes on, and we're told to put on the armor of God. What are we told to put on? You know, it's righteousness, it's faith, it's truth, it's salvation. We're called to wield the sword of the Spirit. All of these things are a spiritual armor that we're called to put on to fight. And it's because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the spiritual forces of evil. For so many of us, we attempt to fight our battles alone. Using our wisdom, using our strength, using the latest self-help book, or what some influencer shared to do on YouTube. And we try all these worldly tactics against a spiritual adversary, and it's just never going to work. You know, Ephesians goes on in verse 18, and it says this, pray at all times. Pray at all times in the what? In the flesh, in your strength, in your wisdom, in your self-help book, in your therapist. No, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. And with every prayer and request, stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all of the saints. So what's it saying? How do we battle? In the Spirit, we pray. In the Spirit, we stay alert. In the Spirit, ready? We persevere. It's a spiritual fight because we're not battling against flesh and blood. We are fighting against the spiritual forces of evil. And we will never win a spiritual battle by physical means alone. Listen, if you want victory over the things that you are at war with, you must see the spiritual forces of evil at work all around you, and you need to invite God in to fight for you. That's how you'll win. It's seeing and understanding that there's this spiritual presence, that God has this vast army, that God is for you, he's all around you, and he is in you. And here's the truth, ready? If we believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we cannot ignore the presence of demonic spirits. You just can't have one without the other. Why would we need a Holy Spirit's presence to fight physical things? We need the Holy Spirit's presence to fight against the dark, evil spirits, demonic spirits that come at us every single day. And I need you to know, like, every single attack from the enemy is a spiritual attack. Now, do those attacks manifest themselves? Do we feel those things physically? Yes, absolutely. Why is that? Because of sin. And when we sin and we act in sin, what's it lead to? It leads to hurt and pain and suffering and torment and turmoil and even death. Because of this fallen and broken world, and this is exactly what the enemy wants. He gets us so focused on fighting in the physical that we win the battle in the spiritual realm. He says, yeah, just keep focusing on your physical health and your physical prowess and your physical strength and being so smart and so wise. And in that way, if you keep relying on yourself, you won't rely on the Holy Spirit. And if you're not willing to rely on the Holy Spirit, you will never win the spiritual battle that is going on for your life. It's in him, it's by him, it's through him. So here's the deal. If you struggle with the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, of the indwelling Spirit, because we are given what Jesus promised to us was the Holy Spirit. And if you struggle with believing that and having power in that and praying in that and reading his word in that and discerning in that, you will continue to struggle against the battles of demonic spirits in your life. And you'll never win, because it's only the Holy Spirit that'll help you win those battles. And here's the other thing. And I've already kind of spoken to this, but if you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, but not in the influence and of the demonic spirits, you will continue to struggle. And I've already said it, like, you can't believe in one and not the other, because these are the two forces that have been combating one another in the spiritual realm. And we have, like Elisha's servant, our eyes have to be opened to this. You cannot achieve victory over an enemy that you refuse to see or believe in. You just won't. Is there something that you continually struggle with, you continually go through? You've tried to figure it out in your own strength and your own might and your own wisdom. You tried all the things that other people said and what the world said, but you continue to struggle with this time and time again. Do you wanna know why? It's because you never learned to rely on the Holy Spirit to help you get through it. He's the only one that'll bring victory in your life in that thing. And so we've got to learn to do this. And here's one of the things that I have recognized. The greatest lie of the enemy today, especially in the lives of Christians, is that demonic spirits no longer exist. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to believe it. Because it's a scary thing. It's not scary when we realize that we have the Lord of hosts and the Holy Spirit, but man, when you start talking about the demonic presence and demonic forces and evil spirits, people kind of back away and they're like, okay, I kind of understand, but I don't care. I don't care what other people think. Because in my life, if it's the difference between continuing to struggle with the demonic presence or not, I'm gonna choose not every single time. I'm gonna recognize the presence of the demonic evil spirit in my life and what it's causing me to think, say, act, and do. And I'm gonna go to the Holy Spirit and say, I need you to help me with deliverance from this thing. We've gotta see it. And we go, well, you know, the demonic spirits, all the, that was just in the Bible. That's just the Old Testament. You know, that was just something for Jesus and, you know, the apostles. And, you know, they were just showing us that. Man, this couldn't be any further from the truth. And I fully believe that due to our lack of seeing, believing, talking about, discussing demonic spirits, they are more so prevalent today than they've ever been before. We're blind to it. And we're letting it infiltrate our hearts and minds. We're letting it infiltrate our marriage. We're letting it influence and infiltrate our children, especially through this. You wanna know? The most demonic battle your kids are facing every single day, it's this. And when you hand them a loaded gun and say, have fun, and the enemy says, thank you. You just put them in my realm and I will begin to whisper and share lies to them day in and day out. I didn't share this last time, but if you give your teenager this cell phone and have no protection and you let them just be tossed to the wolves, be ready for a spiritual attack. And if you wanna take that back, take it back. You are in control. They don't need to be on social media. It does them no good at all. Anyway, that's a word from the Lord for you and your parenting. So you wanna talk to me later, come talk to me. If your kids whine about it, who cares? You're parenting right. Okay. I lost where I was. Listen. Truth of the matter is, there are demonic spirits that exist. They exist in many forms. There's a spirit of rebellion. If you're a parent, you know about the spirit of rebellion, especially with teenagers. It's like either they're 3 and 4 and there's rebellion, or they're 14, 15, 16, 17 and there's rebellion, right? And then in the middle, you're just like, I don't know what to do with you. But anyway, there's this rebellion. So as parents, we know. But here's the other thing, this spirit of rebellion, guess what? You are a child of God. And you also fight with a rebellious spirit towards him as your heavenly father, and the discipline that he puts on your life. There's a spirit of anger that results in abuse towards children, towards a spouse, a coworker, and other stupid people. Okay, that's what the spirit of anger does in our lives. There's a spirit of addiction. And I think this is another lie of the enemy, that we look at addiction and we say it can only fall in certain categories. But the spirit of addiction can manifest itself in so many ways. And I was thinking about this, and I feel like right now in our culture, in our world, especially because of social media and being an influencer, there is this spirit of seeking praise and adoration. There's an addiction to it, of people pleasing, of getting that next like, of getting that next follow, of having people praise you and adorn you, and all that does is lead to pride. There's a spirit of addiction in video games. I felt that in my own life, or any other form of entertainment. And we think, oh, it's not that big a deal. I'm just having fun. Leads to a spirit of addiction. Spirit of addiction, of course, in drugs and alcohol and other mind-altering substances. No matter how much our country tries to legalize certain things, it doesn't mean it can't turn into a form of addiction. And the spirit of addiction grabbing a hold of your life. There's a spirit of addiction, of course, with sex that is so rampant in our culture. And again, this is an open world to that. And it's like you're giving them a pass to say, yeah, go ahead, have fun. And then they enter into not just a moment of sexual addiction, but a lifetime of sexual addiction. Talk to anyone who was influenced by pornography at a young age, and I guarantee you today, they still struggle with that. Spirits of addiction. There's a spirit of jealousy and rivalry. There's a spirit of slander and gossip. There's a spirit of fear and doubt. There's a spirit of anxiety and worry. There's a spirit of pride and control. And we gotta recognize, like we'll say, you know what? These are just human emotions. These are just human reactions. Listen, we have got to learn to see the demonic spirit's influence over these things. That is the enemy working in your life to get you to live counter to who God, who God's word, and who Jesus modeled for us to be. Spirits of addiction, they're all over the place. And I was thinking about this, like, who in their right frame of mind? Like, I don't think humans in their right frame of mind commit evil acts of atrocity. Now, when they begin to be influenced and lied to by demonic presence in their life, that is when we commit evil acts. Because no one in their right mind murders another person. No one in their right mind abuses a child. No one in their right mind consumes a substance that will destroy their mind, their soul, their body, and their relationships and their livelihood. No one in their right mind will destroy a marriage or seek to do that or destroy a family or a friendship. No one in the right mind. I was thinking about this as it pertains to Peter, the Apostle Peter. You know, he spent 3 years close to Jesus, walking this earth with him, experiencing miracle after miracle. You read through and you can see that Peter was really one of his close friends. And I would say no one in their right mind, after spending that much time with Jesus, would deny him. Not once, but 3 times. And so in this moment, what takes place is the spirit of fear entered into Peter, the spirit of doubt, and he denied his friend and his savior. And the Bible clearly tells us in 2 Timothy that God does not give us a spirit of fear. And if it's not God giving us that spirit, you wanna know who it is? It's the enemy. It's a demonic evil presence in our life. And here's why this name, Yahweh Sabaoth, is so important, because not only is it recognition of the fact that God is commander of the angel armies and he surrounds us and he is for us, but it is also a recognition of the fact that not only has his power surrounded us, but his power has been given to us. And so what this means is that his mighty power surrounds us and dwells within us. And so 2 Timothy doesn't say he gives us the spirit of fear. Yahweh Sabaoth gives us the spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And those things in the spirit are gonna be what help us to combat and overcome the spiritual attacks from the enemy. But our eyes have to be opened to it. I think our eyes need to be open to the Holy Spirit's presence and the fact that God's, you know, is this Lord of hosts, he's this Lord of armies, that he has surrounded us. But at the same time, our eyes have to be open to demonic evil forces that are present in our lives every single day. You know, I told you David was one of the second times this showed up. And what I loved about David's story is that he proclaimed the power of a name. What was it? Yahweh Sabaoth. He was in absolute belief that God was there with him, but not just with him, that God would fight for him. Let me finish that story. 1 Samuel 17 says, "Today, the Lord will hand you over to me. Today, I'll strike you down and cut off your head, and everyone will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." It's the Lord's. Spiritual, physical, it's the Lord's. It's his. And we've got to see it on both realms and begin to relinquish, man, our power and our control and surrender to him and to his spirit in our lives. And our battles may be vastly different than Elisha's or David's or even Peter's. But at the end of the day, the truth still remains that the battle is and always will be the Lord's. It always will be. The name, and this is the other thing I love. You see, the name of Yahweh Sabaoth is a powerful reminder that you and I never fight alone, ever. You may feel alone, but you're not. Going back to Elroy, God sees you. He's for you. He's given you his army of angels. But more importantly, he's given you the Holy Spirit to combat the things that you are going through. God is for us. He's fighting for us. He has fought for us. He sends his angels to watch over and protect us, and he gives us this Holy Spirit. I want to read to you from Romans 8. I want to give 35, and I'm going to read verses 38 and 39. Here's what it says. Ready? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? Anyways, the demonic spiritual forces manifest themselves. Can they keep us from the love of Christ? And it says, no. In all these things, we are more than victorious through the one who has loved us. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels, rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will ever have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yahweh Sabaoth, it is a powerful reminder that we need to open our eyes to his presence in our life, to his love in our life, to his protection in our life, to his purpose in our life, but also to his victory in our life. We see it. We see his presence. We see his power. And we use that to combat the enemy. And when we begin to see that, when we begin to operate through the Spirit, we have been given so many different weapons to use. And we pray in the Spirit. And we worship in the Spirit. And we read God's word in the Spirit. And we are surrounded not just by angels in the spiritual realm, but also by God's children in this physical realm. So we got to see it. We got to learn to rely on him. I'm asking you guys would stand to your feet, bow your heads, close your eyes. Just as you close your eyes, just right now, I just pray that God, in the time that we've read his word, that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes to the Lord's presence in your life. To Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. I pray that you would be reminded today that you're not fighting alone. At the same time, I hope that your eyes have been opened to the spiritual forces of evil and demonic spirits that tempt you and torment you and are surrounding you. One of the things that you can see Jesus do all throughout his ministry as he's coming into contact with spiritual forces, you'll see him time and time again rebuke the spirits. He doesn't rebuke the person. He rebukes the spirit within the person. And I think today, for you, If you've been going through something, if you've been battling, if you've been struggling and you realize that you couldn't do it on your own, today you need to begin to rebuke those things in Jesus' name, and I want to help you. So today, in Jesus' name, we rebuke addictive behaviors and tendencies and desires. Today, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke anger and abuse. Today, we rebuke the rebellious attitude towards our parents, towards other authority figures, and even towards you, God. Today, we rebuke the slander and gossip that leaves our mouths. Today, we rebuke selfishness and pride. Today, we rebuke fear and doubt. Today, we rebuke worthlessness. Today, we rebuke in the name of Jesus loneliness and depression. Today, by the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spiritual forces of evil that attempt to attack our hearts and our families and our relationship and our children. And we speak God's name over it. Amen. And we declare victory because of one thing. The name of God, the name of Jesus. We see and we experience victory in his name. God, I thank you for opening our eyes today, for allowing us to see today. God, I pray that there's just been this relinquishment of control and reliance on self and a surrender to you, because the battle is yours and always will be. God, fight for us. Fight on our behalf. And may we continue to seek you as we face these battles every single day. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.